السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders, brothers, sisters, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider, whom we are totally dependent on. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's only the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have already seen 10 days of Ramadan that has passed. Today being the 11th of Ramadan means that the first Ashara, which is the Ashara, first 10 days of Rahmah, has completed. We are currently now in the second Ashara, the middle 10 days of Ramadan, which is the Ashara of Maghfirah, and then we have finally the last 10 days of Ramadan. 10 days Ramadan came, Ramadan 10 days are down, 33%, one third is completed. Perhaps it's an important point for us to reflect and to look back and to think that 10 days of Ramadan has passed. How much have I accumulated? How much of profit I have made? What type of investments I have accrued? And how much of difference has it made to my life? What changes have come about? Or is there just, okay, 10 days has gone by, the other 10 days will go and Ramadan will get over and khalas, and we just wait for another Ramadan, and only Allah knows best whether we will actually see another Ramadan. Nevertheless, those who have worked hard, mashallah, have profited, made good investments for the hereafter, alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and we can inshallah step up the efforts and make inshallah intentions to persevere, to have consistency in our amal, all our actions for the balance of Ramadan. But those of us who are shirking, who are waiting maybe for Ramadan, okay, when it gets a little bit more, in the peak of Ramadan, then perhaps we have lost out on opportunities. Those opportunities and those moments are not going to come back. Right? No use crying, as they say in English, over spilt milk is done, its history is over. Right? But the important thing for us is to now look at the next 20 days of Ramadan that lie ahead of us. What can I do differently? How can I perhaps step up and maybe make a difference and do something so that I can maximize and get the benefit of this very important and auspicious month? Otherwise, it will be another 20 days. Next Friday, somebody will come and speak. Also, another 8 days, almost the 20th day of Ramadan will be. And will be, oh, so quick Ramadan has gone by. You know, it's like that anecdote or that story that comes to my mind of these people. It's most probably not a true story, but there's a lesson behind it, of where these people are going one day and they get stuck in this cave, extremely dark, pitch dark cave. They cannot even see their hands in front of them. So there were two or three of them, and they had their bags, maybe a backpacks with them, because they were going somewhere. Now, because they were stuck in this cave, extremely dark, they couldn't move anywhere. They heard a sound. They had no torches, nothing, extremely pitch dark. But the sound said to them that, pick up some of these stones, pick up some of these pebbles that are on the ground, and fill your bags. Pick up some of these pebbles or the stones that lie on the ground, and fill your bags. First person thought to himself, what must I fill stones in my bag for? My bag is just going to get heavy. I have to worry about carrying it. I got this journey ahead of me. He ignored that voice. He put nothing in his bag. The second person thought to himself, you know what? Maybe there's something, I don't know, I just have to follow instructions. But he was a bit, hesitant, reluctant. Anyway, he put, little bit. So he put halfway in his bag. Half amount of pebble. He couldn't see. He just started filling. So he put halfway. The third person said, you know what? This voice, his instructions are coming, I need to fill up. So he loaded his bag as much as he could. He filled it up to the brim till there was no space. Right? And like that they pass the night. In the morning they wake up and they start undergoing their journey and each one is carrying their bags. And the person who filled his bag to the brim, he said, you know what, I'm carrying this heavy burden and heavy load in my bag. Let me open and see what is this. When he opened that bag, inside he sees that it is filled with these rubies and emeralds and diamonds and most expensive gems. And he's extremely elated, overjoyed. I have this bag full, I'm going to be a very rich man, very wealthy. And he was very happy at the decision he made of listening to that voice and filling his bag. Second person said, hey, I got halfway, okay, he is happy and also not so happy because he thought to himself, I should have filled up more. And the third person, he thought to himself, and he's also saying it perhaps aloud, hey, let's go back. Let's go back, I want to go there and fill up my bag. When he sees the lot of his friends, but then the voice says to him, that instruction and that opportunity was only at that time. Now it's too late, you cannot go back. You just have to look forward and now make some other plans ahead in your life. So that is exactly our situation. 10 days of Ramadan has passed. Alhamdulillah, there are many amongst us who have exerted themselves. They have made lots of effort. And Alhamdulillah, they have invested and made lots of profit for the hereafter. Alhamdulillah, they must be grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as I said, continue with that for the balance of the month of Ramadan. And some of us are in the second category. You know, we're still halfway, we're still perhaps getting our engines warm. But let it not be such that we're still waiting for engines to get warm and Ramadan will finish. So let's perhaps, inshallah, try to remember and remind ourselves that time is going to be going by very, very fast. And we ought to start capitalizing on the moments that we have. And some of us are the third category. We have hope, inshallah. The month of Ramadan is the month of hope. So let us try and please listen to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the encouragements that the ulama have given us. Listen to the advice and get down to doing action. Otherwise, as I said, Ramadan will be over and we still, our bags will be empty, our balances and our bank balances of the akhirah will still be sitting on empty or zero. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the opportunity to see the balance of these days of Ramadan and for us to take maximum benefit from it. So I've tried to see how we can perhaps remind ourselves, all of us probably sitting in this gathering know that in the month of Ramadan that there are certain special things we do. So I think for us to recall and refresh and remind ourselves about it, I looked at this and I perhaps sometimes read it sometimes long ago in some place, I can't remember where, but I tried to recall. And for the purpose of today's Jummah discussion, I want us to think of the letter T. The letter T, or in Arabic the alphabet Ta. The Ta and the T. So I'm going to try and go through many T's as possible, so you can go home also and think about it. And for the balance of Ramadan, keep reminding yourselves about the T, the letter T and the Ta. And you must be thinking, what this Maulana is talking about here now, T and Ta. So the first T for us to remember in the month of Ramadan is the T of Tahajjud. Or in Arabic, the Ta of Tahajjud. We can read Tahajjud and we ought to be reading it for the whole year. Every day of Ramadan, of the year, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has special announcements made. Is there anybody who has any need? Is there anybody asking for forgiveness? It's like an exclusive moment of seclusion. A lover with his beloved. Exclusively to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Throughout the year is a little bit more difficult. In Ramadan, you have to wake up for Sehri. And if you're not making Tahajjud at the time of Sehri, then we're depriving ourselves of that opportunity of performance of Tahajjud. In fact, in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the Sahaba. And He says, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And He talks about them in Rasulullah SAW. We don't have time to go into all the discussions about Tahajjud. But suffice to say that the Quran has gone to many, many places speaking about them qiyam, sujjada wa qiyama, walladina yabituna li rabbihim sujjada wa qiyama. Allah speaks about the quality again of the pious people, of the Sahaba Ikram, that at the time of Sehri they make istighfar. They pass their night sujjadan, in sajda and qiyam and standing, in other words, performance of salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi in the hadith has mentioned many, many virtues of the Tahajjud Salah. The Tahajjud Salah is basically a 2 rakats minimum. You can go up to 8 rakats of Salah, which is besides the Taraweeh Salah. It is a specific Salah, And the time ends, when Sehri time ends, that is when Tahajjud Salah ends. You can perform it any time from after the Isha Salah up till Sehri time, but the preferred time is at the time of Sehri. In fact, one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when I was checking some of the virtues of this Tahajjud Salah, one hadith speaks about the specific dua that may the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be on that husband who wakes up for Tahajjud Salah and then he gets his wife up, and if she's not waking up, then he sprinkles a little bit of water on her face. By doing this, he says, may the mercy of Allah, rahimallahu, the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends on that couple. And the reverse also, normally in our homes, you know, the lady is waking up first, the man is waking up late, and he's just ready to go to sit on the table, and groggy, nobody must talk to him, he just comes to the table, he wants to eat his food, khalas. Let's change that mindset, rahimallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special mercy on that wife who wakes up and performs Tahajjud Salah and gets her husband up also for Tahajjud Salah, and he doesn't want to wake up. Permission given, inshallah, that little bit of water sprinkled, and I think all the men you're listening today will not take any offense, because by your wife waking you up for Tahajjud Salah, it is an opportunity of getting the special dua. May the mercy of Allah be on that couple, on that individual. And it's the time when duas are accepted. It's the time when, you get, there's so many virtues, your sins are forgiven. So at that time, Tahajjud. So the first T is the T of Tahajjud Salah. Let's hope, inshallah, that from tomorrow morning, if you haven't yet already been doing it, that tomorrow morning we will wake up 5 minutes earlier, if we require that time. That's with a specific intention. In fact, when you go to sleep, a narration of Abu Darda radiallahu mentions about that individual who, when he goes to sleep, he makes an intention that he wants to wake up for Tahajjud, and by chance he didn't wake up, he couldn't wake up, he overslept. Allah Ta'ala will give him the reward for the Tahajjud Salah. So at least tonight, when you're going to sleep, make that intention you're going to wake up for Tahajjud Salah. But together with that intention also, maybe tell your wife, wake you up, or put that alarm clock to say, okay, you're going to wake up 5 minutes earlier. So you make a wudu, inshallah. In fact, it says when you wake up at the time of Tahajjud Salah, then it is like a person, whereas when he goes to sleep, has his knots tied. When he wakes up, the first knot gets untied. When he starts making wuzu, because making wuzu at that time of the morning also a little bit more difficult, the second knot gets untied. And when he makes the takbir, Allahu Akbar, to start his salah, it's like the third knot gets untied, and it's like this burden is removed from him. And like an announcement is made, now you make dua and ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill and accept all your duas. So it's a very, very exclusive time. Also, perhaps think of it like a person that he has children and he wants these moments with his wife. But now every time he wants to have these moments with his wife, this child is coming in the way. So you're waiting for the opportunity for the child to go to sleep or to go somewhere so you can have that opportunity with your wife to have that seclusion, to have that special moment. In a similar, as an example that was, similarly, at the time of night, you can make salah at any time of the day, dua any time of the day and night, but at the time of Tahajjud, it got the specific moment of seclusion between you and your Allah. Between you and that being who is in charge, who made you, created you, who does everything for you, who loves you more than your own mother loves you. That is the moment that we have to engage. When you wake up for Tahajjud Salah, what do we do? Somebody might think, now, okay, I'm going to wake up, what must I do? So you can make a dua, make tilawat of Quran, make some dhikrullah, read salah, and make it with lots of devotion, lots of concentration. Don't be sitting there on the musalla, half asleep. So therefore it requires a great degree of preparation and planning for that time. If you're sleeping at 12 o'clock, then at 4 o'clock when you're performing Tahajjud Salah, then I don't know what dua you're going to be making at that time. You'll be perhaps in the seventh sky, snoozing because you're not fresh. So you have to prepare yourself physically as well for that exclusive and special moment, inshallah. So that's the first T. The second T that perhaps in Ramadan we need to remind ourselves of is the T of tilawat, or the Arabic ta, tilawat. Tilawat of Quran. Allah mentions in the Quran, Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihil Quran. If in the month of Ramadan we are not developing a bondage and attachment with the Quran, then it's going to be very difficult to do it any other month of the year. In the month of Ramadan, we ought to have already been setting goals for ourselves. 10 days are done. Minimum, I must complete one Quran. And for those of non-huffaz, we need to make one para a day to complete. So if you're not going to be setting yourself these small type of goals, and now you're going to have pressure on yourself, you'll find it'll be coming towards the ending of Ramadan, and unfortunately will not be able to complete tilawat of Quran. So tilawat of Quran, the second T, I'm not going to go into again to the details and the fazail of reciting Quran, because I'm sure we all know the importance of Quran. As I said, suffice to say that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to make, as we say, door with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam in Ramadan. And the year before he passed away, closer to his demise, he recited the Quran was done. The door of the Quran was recited, was done twice in Ramadan. And every time we read Quran, there's great benefit and reward in reciting every letter. It's the month of Ramadan, the reward is going to be multiplied. You have to take out time and program yourself. For me to complete one Quran, I need to read one para a day. For me to read one para a day, each one sitting here got their own constraints, their own lives that they're living in, their own way that they read Quran, how long it takes them. So you plan on your own roster to say, okay, after Fajr, after Asr, after Zohar, wherever, however you're going to fit it. But it should be like an important priority. It's not like, by the way, if I have the time, then I would do it. It's Ramadan, I'm not finishing Quran. When else am I going to do it? So the second tier of tilawat of Quran is crucial. There are many other hukuk of Quran. For example, reading the Quran is on itself great reward. But reading the Quran with understanding, reading the Quran, for putting into practice, these are all important hukuk of Quran. So we should try also to see at which level we are and try and fulfill all these hukuk of Quran. But that is linked to the second tier, which is the tier of tilawat of Quran. That brings me to the third tier. Right? The third T or the third Ta. Right? Arabic alphabet Ta. I'll remind, the first one was the Ta of Tahajjud. The second one was the Ta or the T of Tilawat. The third one is the Ta of Taraweeh. Alhamdulillah, we find masjids, first day, second day of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, masjid full. 20 rakats of Taraweeh people are performing, alhamdulillah. But as you find 6-7 days, the masjid crowd starts decreasing. And some people now, they may be performing Taraweeh elsewhere. I'm not sure what is happening. But the consistency and importance for us to remind ourselves that it is sunnah to perform the entire 20 rakats from the first day of Ramadan till the last day of Ramadan, every single day, no gaps in between. A little bit of sacrifice is required on ourselves. The rewards are tremendous. There's also something that I perhaps would like to clarify. Some of us go to some places where they complete the Quran. That is a different sunnah. If you completed your khatam of Quran, maybe over 10 nights or 15 nights, you are not absolved of the performance of the Taraweeh Salah. Now what is this Taraweeh Salah? This Taraweeh Salah is a special thing. You can't read Taraweeh any other time of the year. It's only in Ramadan. And each rakat, perhaps today when we're reading this Taraweeh, think about it. I'm listening to the Quran being recited. I'm going into sajda in each rakat twice. In 20 rakats, 40 extra sujood I'm making. Over 10 days, 400 extra sujood. Over 20 days, 800 extra sujood. Over 30 days, 1,200 extra sujood in the month of Ramadan because of the Taraweeh Salah. And sajda, what is sajda? أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُولُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ sajid. The closest position a person is to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when he's in sajda. So every time we're going to sajda, when the imam is saying Allahu Akbar, and he's going to sajda, let us not maybe perform our salah where they're going to sajda, Allahu Akbar, even they didn't say anything, and rushing through the salah, actually we're depriving ourselves of great opportunity. Take you 5 minutes more, 10 minutes more. How many minutes more it'll take you to, but you ensure that we did the tilawat of Quran correctly, but we ensure that we did other postures also of salah correctly. So when you go into the sajda, think about it. It's an opportunity. I'm going down. I'm placing my forehead. I'm humbling and lowering myself right down. That is the time when I'm closest to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And I'm reciting, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory to my Allah, who is the most lofty, who is the most high. So Taraweeh Salah is something that we should take it as an important act of ibadah. There is another scholarly discussion, another time and a platform for discussing, 8 rakats, 20 rakats and the debate. All we have to understand is that it was the practice of the ulama, the sahaba from then up till today, performance of 20 rakats of salah. And the 20 rakats of salah is more opportunity if somebody comes to you and say, you want 8 ren, or 8,000 ren, or you want 20,000 ren. What are you going to take? The 8,000 ren or the 20,000 ren? Same person will take the more. So I did more salah. Inshallah, it's more investments for my akhirah. It's more profit for me. It's more beneficial for me. You're not going to lose out anything. So let us not go into the debate and discussion unnecessarily and thereby deprive ourselves of great amount of reward in the treasures of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Little bit of sacrifice on ourselves. Again, planning, but keeping in mind the great amount of rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept in store for us. So let us maintain the consistency, inshallah, with our Taraweeh Salah. So that was the third T. Then the next T is the T of Tawbah. The month of Ramadan is the month where we have to sort of get our slates clean. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he stepped up the first step of the mimbar. He said, Ameen. Second step, Ameen. Third step, Ameen. Sahaba heard this from Rasulullah when he came down. Was the Nabi of Allah, something very strange we heard from you. Normally you go up, we don't hear you saying Ameen. Today you said Ameen. So he mentioned different things. On one of the steps relevant to our discussion, he said that destruction, wail. The Nabi of Mercy is saying wail. Destruction, doom. To that person who gets the month of Ramadan and still did not earn the forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He says, Man hurimaha faqad hurima al-khayr. If we deprived of the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah in Ramadan, then we have deprived ourselves of a great opportunity. So this month of Ramadan is a month of sincere tawbah. The ta and the ti of tawbah is crucial. And tawbah is not just saying astaghfirullah. Although we are encouraged to recite Ratab Istighfar, but it requires a mindset. It requires a degree of sincerity. If you are even in a human relationship, you did somebody wrong, and you're not sincere, telling sorry, but you're still doing the wrong. Human beings know, you know, that you are not sincere, you're playing, you're fooling around with your apology. You did somebody, you spoke something wrong to somebody, you swore somebody, you said, I'm so sorry for swearing, and you swear him again after that. You're joking, you're playing around with me. So in a similar way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all, you don't have to tell him anything. He knows what is going on in your heart. Alimun bidhati sudur. So this month of Ramadan, with sincerity, nasuha, sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledge the three steps of tawbah or four steps of tawbah is first immediately have a great degree of remorse. Be extremely sorrowful and sad for what we have done, the sins that we have committed. Number two, is to immediately stop that sin. You cannot be making tawbah and still be doing that sin. Remorseful for the sin that we have done. Immediately stopping that sin that we are committing. And number three, making a firm resolution, firm determination, never to return again. Those are basically the three core conditions for your tawbah. There is a fourth one, where it's somebody's rights have been infringed. You oppress somebody, you did somebody wrong. Then be bold enough to go to that individual, brother, forgive me, my sister, forgive me, my wife, forgive me, but sincerely. Then, inshallah, you took somebody's money, go and give him back his money, make arrangements for paying. Then your tawbah is sincere. So the month of Ramadan is very important for us to be on guard. At the time of asari, at the time of iftar, moments of acceptance of dua. What dua are you going to make? Make dua to Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. Tawbah in the month of Ramadan and every other opportunity we have. Then there's lots of other teas I don't have time to go into, but the tea of, you know, we all know the month of Ramadan, the tea of being thirsty and being tired. Let's forget about that one and sacrifice. And inshallah, month of Ramadan is also a month for us to be thankful. In English, the tea of being grateful. Alhamdulillah, we in this masjid, we have such a comfortable Ramadan. 11 hours, 10 hours fast we have. It's ample food, nice carpets, nice masjids. We got a whole host of options where you want to go for Taraweeh Salah. You want to go for one para, two paras, three paras, up the road, how far you want to travel. Nowhere else, perhaps in the world, you will have such opportunities of enjoying the month of Ramadan. There's no excuse for us to not take maximum benefit of the month of Ramadan. So the tea of being grateful, of being thankful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for all the ni'mas and the countless bounties that He has bestowed us with. Then there's also the tea, again time has elapsed, but the tea of tazkiyah. Tazkiyah, or maybe tarbiyah, also tea of tarbiyah, the ta of tarbiyah or tazkiyah, which is basically reformation and purification. Why are we fasting? All of us sitting here, ask ourselves that question, what am I abstaining from food and drink and relationships with my wife? What benefit is there in it for me? Why am I fasting? Why am I standing so many, 20 rakats, up, down, every day? What is the reason for me to do this? It is all for making our tazkiyah, our purification, our tarbiyah, our reformation, and to nurture us in a certain way, to train us. There the other tea came. The tea of training. Ramadan is the month of going through this training exercise. So we are training ourselves what? To get the quality of taqwa. I'm not eating halal food because Allah is watching me. Can be a cold drink that you have, extremely hot and tired. You're not going to drink it. It's training ourselves to get the quality of taqwa, which is the most important tea in the month of Ramadan, because we're all fasting to get in our lives this quality of taqwa. So with these few words, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the most beautiful Ramadan. He makes this Ramadan best Ramadan of our lives, better than other ones in the past. We don't know if we're going to see another Ramadan. So to summarize, to encapsulate the teas or the ta's of Ramadan, first was the ta or the tea of tahajjud, then was the ta or the tea of tilawat, then it was the tea of tawbah, is the tea of taqwa, and many other teas you can think of. Also the tea that we drink, perhaps you can learn in the month of Ramadan, is time for us to remember and share with others. And also I spoke about the tea of being thankful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.